This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Labor Day weekend, everybody. I hope you're having fun out somewhere, like on a boat maybe. Yeah, fishing on a lake, maybe in the ocean, or perhaps just in your backyard. Kick it back with a cold one, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, but somehow, somewhere, enjoying family, friends, or just some solitude and some peace and quiet. I think a lot of people, especially when you look at Ida and what happened and then what's been going on with the pandemic and at these hospitals, what they're dealing with, I think a lot of people want peace and quiet in a second just to breathe. A couple of things right at the top on this holiday weekend. Iconic Today Show weatherman Willard Scott, dead at the age of 87. I remember him as a kid because my grandfather used to watch Willard Scott, so I wanted to be with my grandfather. And when I was around him, we watched the Today Show. And he was really kind of hokey funny, clever funny. I think it was clever. I don't want to say it was hokey, because I think he was clever. And what I remember about Willard Scott, and I was just, like I said, a young kid, is that he did the birthdays. Like, he would recognize people that turned 100. And I thought that, I just thought there was something so cool about that, right? He used his Smucker's jelly jars wishing happy birthdays to viewers that were 100 or older. And, you know, he had some really interesting moments, I guess, in his career. I wasn't aware of this, but he was the first person to play Ronald McDonald. He was in a commercial in the Washington area starting in 1963. So how about that? He survived by his wife, Paris, who he married in 2014, and two daughters, Mary, and Sally. And there's tributes that came out over the weekend from, like, Katie Couric, who said, "I'm heartbroken that the much-loved Willard Scott has passed away. He played an outsized role in my life and was warm and loving and generous off camera as he was on. Willard, you didn't make it to the front of the Smucker's jar, but you changed so many lives for the better." Al Roker, he shared something, because of course when he retired, he replaced him, and he said, "We lost a beloved member of our Today Show family. Willard Scott passed peacefully at the age of 87, surrounded by family, his daughters, his lovely wife Paris. He was truly my second dad, and I am where I am today because of his generous spirit. Willard was a man of his times, the ultimate broadcaster. There will never be anyone quite like him." And it is the charm. That's what it is. It's the charm of Willard Scott. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. So other things that are going on besides, of course, the shock and awe of the satellite images that we're seeing from the New Jersey flooding, what happened in New York, the images that we're seeing from Louisiana, and there's still people without power, and I feel for you, without power in Louisiana, but lots of people are trying to help out as much as they, you know, as much as they can. You know, people from Texas and neighboring areas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, lots of people have, from my understanding, especially a lot of volunteer firemen and women have gone down to help people there, so thank goodness. But it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. We're going to have more people on, and we've talked about it. We've talked to people who've been in the middle of it. My family in the thick of it. Luckily, all of them are okay. They live in the Philadelphia area. I talked to my mother's best friend, and her son is still without power, and they had a flooded basement. But, you know, luckily, everybody's safe and sound for the most part because they lived close, pretty close enough to the Schuylkill River, which roars, you know, through parts of Philly, outside of Philly, and into downtown Philly, and that overflowed, and they're still cleaning up. I mean, there's still lots of cleanup to happen, and unprecedented 45-plus people dead in the Northeast, and, you know, you think of this hurricane that roars ashore with all that wind and what it did to some of those parishes like Jefferson Parish, et cetera, in Louisiana, and then making its way up the coast. And it's just mind-blowing, right? And then to boot, you have Hurricane Larry that's expected to become a major hurricane over the Atlantic Ocean, but the path is uncertain. I was saying that just a couple of days ago. It's the fifth hurricane of the 2021 Atlantic hurricane season. Yeah, do you believe it? I mean, I know you believe it, right? Because this is hurricane season. So it's got winds of about 80 miles an hour. It's intensifying. It's, you know, it's doesn't have, the path is not sure as to where it's going to go, but it's definitely over the Atlantic. And I'm looking at today, this morning when I was drinking some coffee, I was looking at Cramer, Louisiana. Maybe some of you are listening to me in around that area. And gosh, looking at that flooding, so much water coming over the top of the levee system, and it just, boy, you know, houses hit hard, but also, thank goodness, it worked a little bit to protect some of that area. Because remember, this is a hurricane that washed ashore a week ago in Louisiana with 150 mile an hour winds, the strongest system of the season. And it underwent what they call, and I've now learned, it's this phenomenon known as rapid intensification, where a storm powers up at lightning speed and intensity goes from 35 miles an hour in a 24-hour period all the way up to 150. So six people dead early in the week, two in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Louisiana was battered, power out for so many, and so many neighborhoods are still dealing with the floods and the repercussions. Then Tennessee and Ohio, I don't want to forget you, and the Mid-Atlantic, of course, the East Coast, like I talked about, major highways closed and transit systems just crippled, and water rescues that had to happen just, you know, a handful of days ago. And this has been in this whole entire week. And here it is, this holiday weekend, Labor Day. So, like I mentioned at the top, for so many, you just take a breath to realize what you've just come through or what you narrowly escaped, because some people narrowly escaped the unprecedented destruction in the Northeast and some of the horrible things that happened in Louisiana. I mean, you know, and we're not done with hurricane season, like I said. So hopefully not too much more to come. I mean, how much more can we take, for goodness sake, right? Yeah, absolutely. All right, jumping around here for a second. I know some of you are traveling, so please be safe wherever you're going. Because this is that time of year where it's the end of the summer, even if kids are still back in school or not back in school. It's kind of that line of demarcation. For me, I went to school where Labor Day, that was it. Then you were back in school. And this was the weekend. This was the weekend to do everything you wanted to do that you couldn't get done because you knew after that, okay, yeah, we're not going to have the time that we had before. How about this? U.S. travel to the Netherlands. EU members are adding quarantine requirements. So because of the COVID-19's variant, the Delta variant, now they're moving the U.S. into the high-risk category. So I know that's one place where people are going to have to be careful and either put it off their list or have time to quarantine. But new restrictions don't apply to Caribbean islands like Aruba, if you were planning on going there by chance. Maybe you're there right now, and good for you if you are. Once again, happy Labor Day weekend. Put your feet up, relax, take a breath, no matter where you're at. James Buffin coming up next.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
On this show with Eric Salazar, our technical maestro, who has been part of the show off and on for, it seems like, forever, and at least it feels like 15 years. I don't think it's been 15 years. I'm kidding. But what an incredible job he did, really, really caring about what was happening and how he sounded on the air. So I really appreciate him. And this is his final This or That with me from the mothership in Minneapolis. Eric, this is it.
This is the final episode.
Wow, the final episode. How long did you work at GCN?
For over 3 years now.
3 years. Yeah, but in dog years, it's like 15.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like 15 because the last 3 years have been like 5 years. So
there you go. And so you're going back to New Mexico, and that's where you're from, and you lived in Minneapolis for, what, 11 years, right?
Yep.
Yay. So it's good. You have all these friends and good memories, and we live in a world where we're all interconnected anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an awesome 11 years, that's for sure.
Cool. And that's the best thing about exploring and going to other places. We'll definitely miss you. There's no question about it. And Jeremy Paulson is stepping into your shoes. Very big shoes. It's like he's taking a, you know, I think of Jeremy stepping into your role like you were the, you were like the front of the house. So now he's stepping into that same position. Do you think he's excited about it?
Yeah, he's, everyone who does your show is like nervous. I mean, I didn't get nervous, but everyone else has been nervous for some reason. I don't know.
Why? Why are they nervous?
Like you said, just big shoes, you know?
Big shoes, baby. That's right, because we have some big fun on the show. All right, so this or that, let's have some fun with that. You're stuck in a cabin, and even if you don't like to play games, you are forced to play one or the other. Monopoly versus Scrabble, which do you choose, this or that?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Why is that? Because you want to just acquire all the real estate and that Monopoly's about?
Yeah, it's I like to play with money, even if it's fake money.
Even if it's fake.
And my vocabulary is not very large.
Well, here, there's the thing about Scrabble, right? It's frustrating, and plus, it's so popular though, but it's so hard because also what words I think should be acceptable, you might not. What's the dictionary we're looking it up in? That whole thing. And as far as board games go, Scrabble though is incredibly popular, but so is Monopoly. But you're right. You have to have, a decent vocabulary or you get stuck when you have these tiny letters and you can't form any words and then it becomes difficult to play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I honestly don't even know how to play Scrabble.
So you would somehow figure it out if you had to. And just so you know, the first game, it was marketed in 1948. It was actually developed in 1931, but then was redesigned. You know, it was called Crisscross originally, and then it was marketed in 1948. It was first sold in Great Britain in 1954.
Wow.
I know, wow. Leave it to the Brits.
What about Monopoly, though?
Monopoly, you know what's cool about Monopoly is Monopoly's history is that it's expanded, where they have Monopoly for even just certain areas of the country or the world, but the history of Monopoly goes back to 1903.
Mm.
And somebody did it. The person who did it wanted to explain the single tax theory, apparently. It was supposed to be like an educational thing. And then it turned into something completely different. It just became something different. It became a different version of, I think, what they initially thought that it was going to be. But it's based on the real-life streets of Atlantic City, not too far from where I grew up, 45 minutes from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where I grew up. So, and it is a greed-driven game, so that says you are greedy.
No, I'm not greedy.
Not greedy. 1 billion people.
I always lose at that game, so.
Oh, I know, it's tough. 1 billion people, though, in 114 countries have played Monopoly. Supposedly. Yeah. It's pretty good. All right, so let's move on. Plain potato chips or barbecue or any other flavor on the face of the earth, what chips are you choosing?
Probably barbecue.
Barbecue potato chips. It's interesting because if you went with barbecue potato chips, Lay's potato chips has over 200 flavors. It's ridiculous the amount of flavors that are out there. There's jalapeno flavor. There's sour cream and onion. I like that. Of course, there's the bake. There's the barbecue flavor chips. There's just crazy amounts of different kinds of potato chips. It seems like every year there's new flavors that come out. There's even contests for it where people have won some pretty big money in coming up with different new flavors. And in 2020, they had the chili manango. They had the Lay's wavy jerk chicken. They had the summer BLT. So you never know what's next, right?
Yeah, Jeremy's saying his favorite chip is black pepper.
Oh, I like black pepper. We're going to get along. I like black pepper. Some people don't like it. They think it's too hot, but I like the way it tastes. So I'm going to agree. Yay, Jeremy. Black, go, Jeremy.
Black pepper's not hot, is it?
Well, it's for some people who like things super plain.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like, you know, it's too much. They just want a plain potato chip, so I disagree. So I'm in the same boat with you, both of you. I like flavors. By the way, for me, definitely Scrabble, because I need to keep improving my vocabulary, even though you're right, it's tricky. Apple or banana? You have a choice of either one. You know, it's the basic fruit. Which would you choose? Because this or that?
Banana.
And you know what? The most popular fruits in the U.S. in 2020, bananas was number one, apples two, grapes three, strawberries four. Then you had oranges, watermelons, lemons, avocados. How about that?
Avocados.
Oh, I love avocados.
Those are the best.
Yeah. But bananas, around 70% of consumers purchase bananas. And that is a fact because that comes from the Produce Marketing Association. So they add up all the dollars and cents and they track all that stuff. And so it's huge. I mean, listen, it has 105 calories. That's it for a medium-sized banana. And it's got all the things you need in it. Potassium, B6, vitamin C, magnesium, you know, all that good stuff, right?
Fiber, and they're cheap.
Fiber. They're cheap. Exactly. All right, so because you're eating crappy potato chips and you're trying to expand your brain thinking of playing Monopoly and you're eating bananas, of course you're going to be working out. So this or that, you get a challenge and you have to do 100 squats or push-ups. Which would you attempt?
I can do either, so, but I would probably rather do... I did squats today, so I'll go with squats.
All right, squats. I think I would do squats, too. I'm terrible at push-ups. I don't like push-ups. I don't know. I can't do push-ups as a dude thing more than a... I shouldn't say that because then every woman would freak out. Yes, women can do push-ups, but that's that upper body strength, and my strength is definitely in my legs, so squats for me, too. Squats are so good for you, so yay. If we went old school for a week and you would have to do one or the other, would you prefer to go back to an answering machine where nobody can get a hold of you unless they call a telephone that has an answering machine, not your iPhone, none of that, or play Pong, the old-fashioned video games, not the current ones? So like Pong or Donkey Kong, not the, you know, Madden 2 million or whatever.
Yeah, I like the idea of the answering machine.
Me too. You know why? No one can get a hold of you. Oh, I'm so sorry. We went out for drink. I just had no idea. You know, that eliminated one of our excuses because people can always text you. We walk around with our device, so it's so easy unless you don't charge it, which would be another excuse. Well, anyway, it was great working with you, and we wish you the best on the road to New Mexico.
Thank you, Kate. You as well.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Residents of South Lake Tahoe could soon return to their homes as the wildfire that was threatening the resort town stalled a few miles away. Crews have made progress on the Calder fire that had forced about 22,000 people out of their homes, allowing the evacuation orders to be reduced to warnings. Authorities have warned people that the fire still has the potential to threaten homes, but is currently 43% contained, according to CAL FIRE. The Calder fire has destroyed more than 700 homes and burned more than 215,000 acres in Northern California since it was sparked on August 14th. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a major disaster declaration in the wake of severe flooding from record-setting rainfall brought by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. The declaration will make funds available for some repairs and temporary housing and also calls for more federal assistance. The governor says more than $50 million worth of damage was done by the storm and expects that number to rise. This is USA Radio News. Dr. Anthony Fauci said Sunday that only the Pfizer COVID vaccine is likely to be approved for use as a booster shot by the White House's anticipated deadline of September 20th. President Biden has set that date as the point where all people can begin to receive a third dose of vaccine 8 months after their second shot. Fauci says that the administration is still planning on that timeline of 8 months, but the chief White House medical advisor tells CNN that the whole plan depends on getting proper approval.
But remember, we had said, and we continue to abide by it, that the ultimate implementation of that will be according to the regulatory aspect of the FDA and the recommendations of the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So although the plan for 8 months is still there, we're still planning to do that, there very well may be a range of time when the recommendations are being made. So I don't think there's a situation that it is now immutable that we may not be able to change it. But we are certainly still planning for 8 months.
This is USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We're going to Brisbane, Australia for a conversation with Dr. Johan Eloff Sr. Wait till you hear this title. It's got my favorite word in it too, by the way. You can guess what it is. Moving on from chronic stress resilience. Boy, oh boy. And I know he's going to peel back the layers and tell us how much chronic stress is out there and why in the world don't we talk about it. So thank goodness he's unveiling that in his book. So, Dr. Eloff, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kate. It's a wonderful privilege, you know, meeting you face to face.
So why did you write this book? Tell us about the book. Why'd you write it?
Yeah, as I said, it's about chronic stress. You know, chronic stress has become like a postmodernistic macro disaster on top of the COVID-19 pandemic. And people don't really talk about chronic stress. But, you know, a large percentage of conditions and disorders and illnesses treated by mental and physical health practitioners are being triggered, caused, aggravated, affected in various ways, or prolonged by chronic stress. So if you want to deal with any of these conditions, you've got to deal with chronic stress. And it's sort of a topic that nobody really talks about. You know, they joke and laugh about, yeah, we'll be stressed. But chronic stress is an animal of a different kind. But anyway, I am a counselor. And almost every day I meet with veterans and migrants and other survivors of neglect and abuse and loss. You know, people who find themselves squeezed into the stressful mold of this world. ending up feeling anything but comfortable in their own skin, literally in their own skin. You know?
I know in the book that you talk about this, but I'm just going to interrupt you for a second, the flow, as we're going along here, because you made me think. Right now, people are listening. There are veterans listening. There are people that are struggling with what I call mental diseases. What can they do to feel comfortable? Like, give us, of course, get your book, but what can they, what little nugget can you give us that they can do to start to think about?
Unfamiliar sensory experiences. They got to change unfamiliar sensory experiences to familiar ones. Once they're familiar, you can deal with it. While they're unfamiliar, the part of your brain that doesn't have religion, doesn't have any manners, doesn't have any, doesn't mind about the consequences, kick in. You just react. And often that is anger and aggression and so on, because you start defending yourself against something that is potentially life-threatening, that might may cause loss or death of people and things that are really dear to you. So I would put the word unfamiliarity, I would put that there.
Wow, so that's helpful. Thank you. And chronic stress is, like you said, why don't we talk about chronic stress when it shows up so much?
You see, chronic stress is sort of when we are stressed, we go sort of into a panic state, and you know about it. But that state sort of lasts for 15 minutes, and then it sort of you calm down. And it becomes pretty so-called normal, you know, default settings again. But if it happens again and again, often, there's so many stress hormones that stay in your bloodstream that it keeps you vigilant over time. And you don't realize it, but there's this tensed, yeah, this tension under the level of your skin that doesn't go away, and you get used to it. You know, no gain, no pain, that kind of thing. Yeah. But over time, you will end up in a state of exhaustion, and that is the state where you that is really life threatening, and wow. This may carry on for months or for years for many people.
Yeah.
So. Mass diagnosis, and we don't know where it came from.
Yeah, wow. That's one of the best explanations I've ever heard. Tell us some more about the book as you were telling us.
Yeah. So what I was about to say is, you know, we live in a rapidly changing and inconsistent world, inundated with information, sensory overload, with overwhelming demands. You know, a world where anything goes anywhere. And with whoever consents or doesn't consent, we tend to experience so-called freedom to the point of being frustratingly confused and overwhelmed by life and feeling just terrible. Now, this is a world which breeds chronic stress, which is a silent killer. So touched by the devastating impact that chronic stress has on myself, and on those around me, I realize that we have to be proactive. We have to intentionally develop sustainable resilience, preferably even before facing those circumstances that may stress sensitize us. So some of us experience chronic emotional distress, but at the same time, we are prepared to live with it without realizing the life-threatening and heartbreaking consequences that may develop because of it. When COVID-19 struck our planet, I just felt compelled to somehow make a difference and to make a contribution to ease our distress. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, wow. And I think you've given us some great things to think about. And you've said it throughout, weaved out through what we've talked about. But What do you really hope deep down, Doc, that people take away from reading the book? I mean, what is your hope?
Okay. Yeah. One thing, okay, I got to explain to you the way to tackle chronic stress that I developed, or the approach, I call that narrative care. Which is interesting because a narrative, in my definition is not exactly the same thing as a story. A narrative and a story are two different things, actually. But when you combine them, you get a really interesting concoction. But anyway, so.
But wait a second, you can't leave us hanging there. Give us like a Cliff Notes version. Narrative K, so everybody knows, I just wrote that down. Narrative K, explain that a little bit.
Well, care for your narrative so your narrative can take care of you. You know, if your story, what your responsive brain makes of what you experience with your five senses, if that story is not based on the real account of events, you are going to live according to a story that is without foundation. So we might, you know, live in a fool's paradise and suffer and struggle because of it, and it was never necessary. So it's really important to get the narrative, the facts of the narrative straight, and that is a very therapeutic process, and that is a sensitive process, but you know, just by asking someone, you know, what happened or what happens that makes you feel the way you feel, then they will come up with, you know, lots of stories. And then you go back and say, but what did really happen? You know, what did you see? What did you smell? What did you taste? What did it felt like, and so on? What did you hear? You know, a sort of a eyewitness account that you, as a witness in a court of law, would have said, you know, I saw this, and so on and so on. And if you say more than that, then they would say, objection, Your Honor. We're not interested in what he thinks. We're interested in what he witnessed. Okay, so that is...
Yes, and that's important.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, that kind of information sort of get lost in amongst a lot of stories we tell in our neural systems. Or neural networks, right, that actually have these stories and these experiences.
Wow.
And it becomes debris. You know, the sad and the hurtful things becomes like debris.
Right.
And it doesn't settle in. So it keeps hurting us until you can story the narrative in a meaningful way. And your story is based on a real narrative of the real events. It might be horrific still, but it's the truth. And once the truth sets in and the debris sort of finds its own place there, then, you know, the big thing becomes a thing that you can actually tell.
Wow.
in a consistent way.
Wow.
And that is a very therapeutic process.
Wow.
Unless that, eventually, the debris will get the better of us again and again and again, like in a cycle, you know.
Wow.
Your smart brain will always, you know, trigger your reactive brain to put your whole neurobiology in a place of being vigilant.
Right.
And defend.
Right. I love it. I loved this this interview. Dr. Johann Eloff Sr., moving on from chronic stress, resilience. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much.
Chronic stress, from chronic stress to sustainable resilience.
Yes, it's sustainable resilience. Exactly. That's the key, that resilience. Thank you.
This is Kate. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room, we have Crystal Rivers, and she's got a book, Secrets Are Out Now, How a Girl Overcomes the World. And I know it probably conjures up all kinds of images when you think of that title. And we had a wonderful conversation off the air. Crystal, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about why you wrote the book. What led you down this path of writing this?
Well, I wanted people to know that no matter what you go through, hard times and things like that, that there's always hope. And if you can stay close to God, He will help you through it.
And so this is a true story. This is a true story about overcoming a lot of different things. Tell us about the true story.
Well, the true story is my life. And I told everything that I could think of in the book all about it.
Yeah. Give us a little slice of that. How'd you grow up? Where'd you grow up? And what were some of the things that happened to you that you had to overcome?
Okay. When I started out, my birth mother tried to abort me, and that didn't work, obviously. And then she gave me up for adoption, and some German people adopted me and raised me. And there was something missing there. They were wonderful people, gave me every material thing imaginable, but there wasn't the love and attention and, you know, I love you or hugging and kissing or anything. So I kind of, all my life was looking for love in all the wrong places. Ended up having 9 unsuccessful marriages because they just turned out to be the wrong guys. Were abusing me and abusing my children and then being raped when I was 16 years old. That didn't help my morals either. Kind of made me feel like, oh, well, you know, whatever. So I ended up being a dancer for until I was about 50 years old, top dancer and in the clubs and dealing with a lot of bad people. And one good thing that happened was I was in the movie Porky's, and I was on the stage in that movie dancing. And another good thing that happened was I sung in the Palm Beach Civic Opera with Beverly Stills. And that's basically...
Wow. Let's stop there. We got to stop you there. So Beverly Sills, tell us about that experience. What was that like? Because that must have been uplifting.
Oh, that was very uplifting, being able to sing in the Palm Beach Civic Opera. Yeah, and I learned a lot by being able to do that. And now I do most of my singing in church.
Is the lesson that you went through all this, wow, that many marriages, very sad abuse, and that you came out on the other side, and how did you do that? What do you share, and how did you do that?
Just praying, getting close to God, and he helped me straighten out my life and put me on a different path, where now... I am a Jehovah's Witness, and we go door to door just like Jesus did in the time that he was on earth, going and telling people about God and, you know, all the wonderful things that he's done for us and how we should appreciate the little things like even the bugs that are in the world and all the plants and the trees and the air, clean air that we have, and all of that.
And when somebody picks up your book, and again, the name of the book is Secrets Are Out Now, How a Girl Overcomes the World, A True Story, and you talk about God helping you, and I know that you were also inspired by Dr. Wayne Dwyer's writings too.
Yeah,
and so that helped you. And is the lesson and the takeaway for people that are listening that no matter how bad life gets, like I said, that you can overcome it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. For you, did it feel good to get the secret out? Did it feel good to tell your story?
Oh yes, it definitely did.
Yeah.
Some people said, "Oh, you're crazy for telling everybody that," but if it will help people, it was worth it.
I love that positive attitude. And again, the book is Secrets Are Out Now, How a Girl Overcomes the World. You can hear more about Crystal River's story by picking that up on Barnes & Noble or Amazon as well. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Wow, what a powerful story from her. And I don't know about you, but I admire people because, you know, we all have, like, there's always secrets, right? And secrets are so powerful over you because they just get worse and worse, and I think they just marinate in your head. And when you have so many things that happened abuse-wise, especially sexual abuse, the marriages that she went through, what happened in trying to protect her kids, and then trying to just make your way through life, having to earn a living, doing whatever you could to be able to feed kids and to be able to get through whatever the situations were, so tough. And a lot of people give up, and a lot of people turn in very sad directions that they can't get out of, as we know about certain addictions and whatnot. So she's definitely an example of how she got out eventually on the other side. And she talks about in her book, you know, she goes back and she talks about all kinds of things that are so interesting as far as growing up and what happened and what happened from one place to another, and how do you survive that, and how do you try to thrive in that, you know, in that kind of atmosphere. And her being a fan of Dyer and Dr. Wayne Dyer is somebody who in his lifetime had the innate ability to, you know, if you look at some of his quotes and his books, to somehow cut through into the hearts and minds of people who found themselves in just terrible situations, right? I mean, I can think of some of his quotes right off the top of my head that I bet would resonate not just with Crystal, but with all of you, and I can see how that influenced her book. He said, you cannot be lonely if you like the person you're alone with. That was one of the things he said again and again. And here's another thing, because as you heard Crystal say, she at one point she was a topless dancer. And he said, when you judge another, you do not define them. You define yourself. And then one I think would resonate with her, and I'm sure she knows, and one that I think would resonate with all of you listening to the tail end of this show, is how people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours. So often what happens is the reaction to whatever it is that's being said or whatever happens or whatever is silently being felt. If you don't react to it, it's your reaction that sets that tone. It's easy to say that, but I think the more, you know, you embrace sort of that idea, it really sticks with you. So when you look at Wayne Dyer and you look at, you know, he was a self-help guru and a spiritual author and a motivational speaker. And his first book, Your Erogenous Zones, was one of the best-selling books of all time. Like 100 million copies or something were sold. It may be even more than that. He talked about the power of intention and, you know, changing your thoughts and, those are books that people still pick up today. So I love the fact that Crystal was influenced by that. And I truly, it's hard to tell a story. It's hard to tell a story like that. And I truly appreciate the fact that she's sharing her story. And there may be people out there that are feeling some shame or feeling like they can't get through something. And this is the perfect book for that. So thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.